Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. I'm excited about having Steve Kaplan back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Steve's been with us before. He's the founder of the Difference Maker Incorporated. He helps companies of all sizes put their best foot forward in the marketplace. He has a number of other assignments, but I want to tell you about his book. It's called Bag the Elephant, How to Win and Keep Big Customers. And I like talking about this because I believe that big customers are looking for you, small business owners. And we're going to get Steve to help us with that. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you.
You know, Steve, one of the things that I like talking to small business owners about is the fact that how things have changed in the last 20 or so years, maybe even 30 years. I remember I was a salesman back, years ago out working for companies, and I was considered a vendor. I remember one company that I was one of my customers. They had 2,000 vendors. 2,000. And they were very successful dealing with those people because all they did was get stuff from them. They didn't ask them to do anything except bring us stuff that we need to use. Because everything that they did inside their four walls on their property was actually done by one of their employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way it is today, is it? People, big companies are using vendors more as partners today, aren't they?
Well, they're what's I think happening is the good vendors. And by the way, it's so funny because it's one of my most hated words. I would hate it when people would refer to it like that because it commoditizes anything we do, and it really kind of brings it down to any of the intangible assets that you could bring. But I think what's happened is the old, I guess, vendors. I have become very smart, and they've used all the information that's around. They've used things that they've learned and garnered from shows like yours and things on the internet, and to really understand how to get in there and crack the code and how to be big partners with these big clients because they didn't know before. And what they would do, including myself, years and years ago, is we would go in and hopefully take some orders, et cetera. But now, if you know what to do, you could be very proactive, and you could really kind of make yourself a partner. They really don't give it to you, but there's enough in there that the good old vendors become really relied on and really necessary and needed partners.
About 15 to 18 years ago, there was something started happening called vendor reduction. Do you remember that? Have you ever heard that term before?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Vendor reduction, folks. This is when that 2,000 vendor company said, you know what? We're going to start doing business with only the best 200. We're not going to have 2,000 vendors where we have 10 different people we can pull from and do business with one or with a little bit with all 10 of them. We're going to find the best 200 out of that 2,000, and we're going to tell them what we want to do. We're going to give them an opportunity to bid for all of our business, but we're going to expect certain things of them. And those who can bring a little more to the table become one of our 200, and the other 1,800 will just have to go and eat cake somewhere, have a good life.
Yeah, that's right. And they would term these things such great names as core supplier programs and whatnot. But what they did, in addition to that, they did weed out those that that couldn't really provide additional services. Mm-hmm. But it also gave them a platform and a way to control it so that they can leverage for cost reduction. because if they have 200, they could, you know, they could bid them more easily against each other in that weeding out process that you just said. Mm-hmm. That they can then give more, a little bit more volume to ones that can control it, and then they have more power to cut some costs a little bit as well. And that definitely happened. And that was I was around then, you know.
I was part of the 200 a few times. I was part of the 1800 a few times.
Absolutely, and I always wished I was more of the 200, but right. You know, things worked out.
Well, you know, I like the fact that you got your hackers a little bit over the word vendor. I agree with you. I use two different terms for that, for those relationships now. Either partners. But sometimes I use the word vendor partner, you know, if it's necessary. Mm-hmm. So just to delineate between a true partnership relationship. But I don't mind being called a vendor partner or an integrated vendor. You know, that's a key one there. And when we come back, I want you to talk to us about how to become more partners, more vertically integrated vendors, vendor partners with our customers and with big customers. Maybe, ladies and gentlemen, bigger customers than you ever dreamed of having. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Steve Kaplan is our guest. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Bit of Aretha for you there. One of the classics, the song and the singer. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our friend Steve Kaplan, the author of Bag the Elephant. And Steve, tell us where your book's available, please.
Well, it's pretty much any bookstore, airports, bookstores. It's around. Also,
check it out.
Yeah, DifferenceMaker.com if someone wants, but it's available everywhere.
DifferenceMaker.com, that's your website too, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, you've got a new venture coming out. You got a new book coming out next month, I think. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I do. It's from Workman Publishing. I'm pretty excited about it. Bag the Elephant talked about how, you know, detailed strategies for how to get big customers in your fold. But that's Bag the Elephant. And then the next one, Be the Elephant, is all about growth strategies. You know, how do you know, do you get, do you go after new customers with the same product? You go after the same customers with new products? And what's the best way to expand? And then making sure your business is on solid ground, you know, before you do that. Is your business model really set for success?
So, and you're going to come back and talk to us about that book next time, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Be great.
Absolutely. We'll get you back and do that. Okay, we're talking about how to bag that elephant. And you know, I want you to talk to us, Steve, about some of the things that we need to do, some of the fundamentals, some of the tips and techniques and communication, some of the perspectives, the thought processes we have to have, the mechanics. But I'm glad we were able to take a couple of minutes in the beginning, in the previous segment, just to get folks' attention, to let them know, ladies and gentlemen, big companies are looking for little companies, maybe, you know, smaller companies, I'll say it that way, to provide them with the things that they need that they don't want to own. They need them, but they don't want to own them. 25 years ago, they would own them. They would hire the people, they would buy the assets, and it would be part of their company. Now they're saying, we want to focus on our core competencies. We want you to do the things that we're not good at. And they're looking for people like that, aren't they, Steve?
Absolutely. And not only that, Jim, it's interesting. There's a couple things here. The first thing is that if these huge companies, take a company like Procter & Gamble, if they only worked with other huge companies as suppliers or vendors to them, they lose a big advantage. What we can do as smaller businesses, we could turn on a dime for them. We can devote, you know, a lot of our employees, and we can respond quickly. We give them speed to market.
And innovation that they didn't have.
Yeah, many, many times. You know, if there's a certain area for, you know, for us, because it's become a world of specialization, and these companies understand they can't do everything. So what we do better than they could ever dream of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they now know that, and they didn't know that before. And I think through the years, Jim, you're talking about the last 20-ish years or so, through that time, what they've gotten burned. You know, their competitors have come and they've done things to hurt them and get an advantage because they've used smaller, successful companies. But the thing is that's so important is that any company, and that's probably the biggest thing for your listeners there is any company, no matter what you do, can have a big customer as a client. And a lot of people are so kind of not resistant. They just don't see the connection at all to that. And I'll give you one quick example of a good friend of mine that used to work at Hershey Company, chocolate company, and he worked there, and his wife, they had a baby, and his wife was actually making a little more, so he stayed home with the kid for a while, and he was going crazy. He was dying to get out of the house and do things. So he just started taking his little baby and his dog out for a walk. You know, saw his neighbors. Neighbors said, hey, can you take, you might take my dog with you. You know, I got to do some, I'm working, and, can you pick him up? So he and I were talking, and he's telling me how crazy he's going. So we came up with an idea. You know, he still had to walk his, get out there and do some things and take his baby out, et cetera. So what we did is we developed a plan. What he was going to do is go to big companies, several of them, and talk to them and convince the human relations department to let him come in and give a presentation to senior and middle management about actually literally walking their dogs. And I know it's amazing. And so
talk about niche marketing.
Yeah, and I use it for an example because it's just so out there,
Yeah.
And so what he did is he got his information together. We talked about things such as the propensity for middle management to have pets, and what's the most important thing for them is trust, et cetera. So they agreed. They set him up in the cafeteria. He put signs up on the halls and said, anybody at I think it was right after work at 5 o'clock, come on in. He had 120 people actually show up to hear what he was saying. It was a huge company though,
That's right.
So
yeah.
120 people. He talked for 15 minutes. He signed up 80 out of 120 people.
Wow.
And so it's funny because what happened? He ended up having to hire people. And he's home again because he could do it all, But if someone does that, and he said the man walks dogs. I mean, if you could do that kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Someone who does printing, someone who does catering, someone who does, anything. You own a local video store. Anybody can go ahead and if you're positioned right, have that big customer.
But what you've got to expect to do though is you can't think of yourself as a vendor. If you deliver stuff, let's say that you bring in coarse paper like paper towels and toilet paper, things like that. You're a coarse paper vendor. You can't just be a vendor that just drops it off on the dock. You got to be able to say to them, where are you using this stuff? We want to bring it into your building and put it up so you don't have to handle it. Let us take care of all of your coarse paper needs.
Absolutely.
Everything that you want, whatever you want, let us take care of that. And we won't drop it off at the dock. At the dock, we'll bring it all the way in.
Yeah, otherwise,
that's when you become integrated.
You're right, because not only, there's a couple things. There's that absolutely for sure, because otherwise you're commoditizing yourself.
That's exactly right.
And the other thing is you got to know how to sell these guys. That's
and when we come back, I want you to tell us how to do that. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our friend Steve Kaplan, the author of Bag the Elephant. And his next book, which is coming out next month, is called Be the Elephant. You can pre-order that, by the way. Welcome back. It's 7 till. Little Stones for you there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thanks for using it. Thanks for taking advantage of it. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. Steve Kaplan is our guest, and he's one of our Brain Trust members. He's the author of Bag the Elephant, and his new book, which is coming out next month, Be the Elephant, which you can check out a little in advance, I think, right now on the online bookstores. Steve, we're talking about how to go after those big customers. I've actually joked over the years, Steve, about some of my big companies that I work with. I've always said that I thought they did business with me sometimes just to watch us work. They would call us up and say, "Can you take the elephant and turn him upside down and paint him purple?" And we'd say, "Okay, hang on a second. Wait a minute. All right, now almost there. Okay, now there it is." And they say, "Wait a minute! You didn't have to have a meeting to do that.
Yeah.
You didn't have to put a committee together. You didn't have to get approval. You didn't have to check with your lawyers to make that happen."
Yeah, you could say yes without 8 signatures.
Right? Yeah, yeah, and I think we're almost a bemusement to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, for some of them, we are, for the smart ones, which is many, many, many of them, we're a necessary tool because we, just what you said, because we can go, we can do stuff, we can get things done. If you, again, if you know what to do and, you know, and you know how to navigate that company, you could go crazy. I mean, you could grow your business in an insane way. I tell you, my first big customer was Procter & Gamble. When I got them as a company, it was a small marketing firm. I did one project, $10,000. 7 years later, I was building that one company, $65 million.
Wow.
Just P&G. Just from knowing, you know, again, knowing how they work, how they operate, you know, leveraging their bureaucracy.
I used to do some business with P&G. They're a good company.
They're
a good company to do business with.
They're a great company, yeah.
But you know, I want to see if you recognize this. I've done business with big companies over the years and now, too. And I've had people say, how did you get those people to do business with you? You're a little bitty, teeny, tiny company. And I said, I asked them.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes
all you have to do is ask them, but sometimes it takes more. Give us an example.
Well, the thing is really, I mean, the most important thing, I think, for your listeners is again, not to fear. You know, not to think again that these companies don't want you because they do, that you can't give them something because they're this huge monolith, because you can. You know, you can go in there, and the thing is though that you have some responsibility. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's not easy. I'm just saying it's extremely rewarding. And for me, why go and make, you know, 200 smaller sales when I can make one big sale that's twice as much as my 200 smaller.
Well, what I recommend, Steve, is that you make those 200 small sales, but in the middle of those, you start going. You take a day or two off and go hunt for an elephant, as you say.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you got to.
You want both, yeah. Don't you? Because one thing you talk about in your book is why you don't want to become totally beholden to one big company.
Right. I mean, you need to pay the bills, you need to turn the lights on, you need to pay salaries, you know, you need to do that stuff. So if you don't have a big customer, what I'm not advocating is you just drop everything that you have and do that. You can't do that. But if you do focus and devote time and understand things like how they buys, who kills, who influences, you know, how do you get on their approved vendor list? Mm-hmm. That's a whole art, and I talk about that in detail in the book, but the big thing, and you just said it, Jim, if you go there, the person who runs that program, who's usually in procurement, if you set an appointment with them, they will see you. Go in there and talk to them and ask them. Talk to them. Make them your champion. You know, ask them, you know, what they need, ask them what they look for, and get them engaged in having you come in.
But if you can't find it, if you can't find what they need, what they want, not what they need, because they can get what they need anywhere. Find out what they want, and if you can figure out how to get them that, that's how you get the big customers, isn't it?
Yeah, no question about it. And even a real little tip, when you're talking to these procurement people, they're going to tell you they want to leverage scale to get cost reduction, mm-hmm. and they want to make sure that their company, that you're in business, of course, a year, if they sign contracts, that you can execute. But one thing, for example, that's important is a person that you're talking to in procurement that's going to go through their approved vendor program, mm-hmm. they have a career. You know, they have their own family, their own dreams. If you can help show them, for example, the money that you're going to save that company, if they give you a lot of volume and you can show that to that person, then that person then can use it in their review.
Help this person you're calling on be successful. Not just the company, but help that person be successful.
Absolutely. It's all about people.
Very good stuff. And it's all in the book, Bag the Elephant by Steve Kaplan. Steve, thank you for being here today. Good job, as always.
Jim, thanks. I had a great time.
Look forward to having you here. And let's get you back on and talk about the new book, too, in a couple of weeks or so.
Oh, I'd love it.
Thanks. Steve Kaplan, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.